Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Here we go again, Dalton. People don't like playing football in the rain.
No, they do not.
Apparently.
You know, I used to love playing football in the rain.
I remember when I was a kid, just in a backyard, I played a mud football game once. It was the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah. We'd go over to my buddy Seth's house all the time when we were growing up, you know, just teenagers. And we would just, if it's raining, he had a big side yard that was like, you know, 60, 70 yards long that we'd just play football on all the time. And you start getting puddles. We just start tackling each other in the puddles for no reason. We had a blast out there.
Yeah, man. But for whatever reason, we got a bunch of football games moving to Thursday because of the weather that's supposed to come in Friday. So, yeah, and we'll look at some of the games, big games coming up. We'll look back at some of last week's big results. Got a little bit of volleyball to talk about. Athletes of the Week, welcome in to Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here with you for the next few minutes to talk high school sports. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. It is week 10 coming up of the football season. But first, we're going to look back at week 9. So let's look back at some key results from week 9. I went to West Point. They took on Grenada in a Division 1-5A game, and Grenada gave them a good fight. West Point pulled it out 20-13. Its defense really clamped down in the second half. Grenada has this kid, Emmanuel Forbes, MSC commit. Plays both ways. I think he's being recruited as a defensive back, but pretty darn good receiver as well. Had a really good first half. No catches second half, none. Mm-hmm. And West Point's defense got to the quarterback a little bit, got some sacks, and they had a big pick six by the linebacker, Tyron Orr. They were down 13-12, and then Orr got the interception to make it 20-13. And so West Point having to rally back a little bit there. But it's West Point. They find ways to do it, man, in that defense.
Well, I think that would that should, you know, as long as nothing crazy happens the last few weeks, that should give West Point the division championship because they already beat Lafayette and Grenada. So
right.
They beat the two teams that could challenge them. So that should be theirs, you know. So
Yeah. Another division title, that'll make it, I think, four in a row for West Point as they go for four state titles in a row. So, they got players all over the field on that defense. And, of course, Brandon Harris and Dantarius Cannon on offense had good games. Harris had 123 yards on 17 carries. So, typical West Point stuff right there. Another big game in 6A, you had Starkville taking on Madison Central. That was number one Madison Central. Used to be. Not anymore because Starkville beat them. Starkville, man, 24-21 the final, and they just, you know, still a contender in my book. You know, they've had a hiccup here or there, but they looked obviously looked really darn good in that game.
Yeah, and I think this one right here goes a long way in them actually contending for, because they've won 30 something straight games at home.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, they get the one seed there, it's likely going to have to go through their home field, and you know, their last loss came in 2013 or something like that, something crazy like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Quarterback Luke Altmaier, his usual efficient self, 20 of 32 for 162 yards, three touchdowns. Rufus Harvey had eight catches for 106 and a couple of scores, so got some good players on that team, obviously. And then Tupelo, Dalton, the game you had, Tupelo rolling past Lewisburg, got off to a fast start, didn't they?
Yeah, this game kind of reminded me of the Tupelo team that I was watching when I first got here 2 years ago. How they were just, it didn't matter if they were on defense, special teams, offense, they were going to make a play. They could score from anywhere on the field, and that's kind of what happened that way. In this one, Lewisburg actually didn't allow more than 21 points in a game all season, and then Tupelo had scored 29 in the first quarter, I'm pretty sure. I think Jake Ware threw two touchdown passes to Jacob Horn in the first quarter, and then Dalton Hughes, a linebacker, got a pick six off a screenplay. Quay Edwards, another linebacker, got a fumble recovery for a touchdown. David Hayes scored a touchdown. Jake Ware ran one in for a touchdown, and all in the first half. You know, they were up 43-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then you know, they just kind of cruised, and they kind of, you know, they I think Lewisburg scored a touchdown on the varsity defense one time in the third quarter, and then Tupelo just kind of, you know, took their guys out.
Right.
Lewisburg just kept trying to score. They were running full spread basically the entire game throwing the ball. It was kind of annoying because the game it was kind of late because it was homecoming and everything. I was just ready for that game to be over. But Tupelo looked really good, especially I was really impressed with the way the defense played. You know, two touchdowns, only allowed two touchdowns. The varsity only allowed two touchdowns.
Right.
Especially after they gave up 34 to South Haven the week before. So
Right. And big division win for Tupelo. So where does that put them in the division race? They got to DeSoto Central next.
Yeah, they're 3-1. They're in third place right now. Horn Lake's 2-2 in fourth. If they beat DeSoto tomorrow, they clinch a playoff spot.
Okay.
So then they beat Horn Lake next week, you know, they at least get third. And then of course, who knows, you know, if they go into the Oxford game with only one win, only one loss, which is very possible. You know, that could be the division championship right there in the week finale or the last week of the season. Yeah,
and Oxford's got Olive Branch this weekend.
Yeah, so that one's going to be big right there. If Olive Branch beats Oxford, they're the division champs.
Right.
And if Oxford beats them, then it comes down to Oxford Tupelo, and that could throw in a big three-way tie, I think, if Tupelo wins that one. So we'll see.
We shall see. Okay, looking ahead to some big games this week. Again, a lot of them got moved up to Thursday, including Boonville at Amory. Blue Devils are seeking a bounce back after losing to Kossuth last week, 44-43. Bit of an upset. Blue Devils led by 15 at halftime. Fumbled it away twice in the third quarter. Kossuth turned both of those turnovers into touchdowns, and they just kept on plugging away. Coda Wilhite and Brock Sego and that offense just really played well, especially in that second half. And so Boonville trying to, you know, I mean, they were expected, honestly, I had them the favorite to win the division, and they can still.
Right.
But they got to beat Amory, which is sitting atop the division undefeated there. So Boonville needs a win this week, and, you know, they've got a really good offense, obviously, but their defense has been scored on this year, and Amory's got a really balanced offense.
Yeah, and the offense for Amory just seems like it's getting better and better each week. Mm-hmm. Well, we say earlier, Hunter Jones, the quarterback's thrown for three touchdowns in four straight games, I think is what I saw. And, he scored multiple touchdowns, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, probably every game this season. And, Boonville has, in both their losses, they allowed 40-plus. You know, Saltillo had some success running the ball against them and scored a couple points on them and just – you know, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of the Boonville defense because I could see them play really well one week and then all of a sudden they give up, you know, 40 something to Kossuth or to New Albany or something. Which,
well, they got Davian Price, the great equalizer, who scored 21 touchdowns between offense, defense, and special teams. He's the guy that makes them go on offense. But John Daniel Deaton, also the quarterback, really runs the show very well. 12 touchdowns, just 5 picks. He's completed about 60. What is it? I had it over here anyway. He's got a good completion rate, Dalton, and completion rate is 63.
Not bad.
So it could be a shootout. You don't know. But just because Boonville's got those weapons and their defense has given up points, and Amory, as you mentioned, during the 6-game winning streak, they've really taken off and got Hunter Jones and of course the freshman running back Charleston French, and they got that offensive line that's got, I think, 5 seniors on it.
Right.
So
this is another one of the division that's kind of weird because if Boonville loses this one, then they're traveling in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But if they win, then it's a 3-way tie for first place between Boonville, Kossuth, and Amory because they would have all beaten each other.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's going to be a lot of division races like that in our area, it seems like, this year.
Seems like it. Speaking of a big division race, you got Pawtucket at Itawamba AHS and 2-4A, both 3-0 in division, although I'm not quite sure yet what to make of Pawtucket. They started so just so badly, but they've done fine in division. But Itawamba is kind of the kingpin in this division and would expect them to win, but that's why you play the game.
It's weird that we're in week 10 and we're still saying that we don't know what to make of a team.
I know,
but I'm right there with you. I don't either. You know, they started off 0-4 and we're just getting, bullied by people. And then all of a sudden they're turning around and you're winning 3 straight division games, 1-1 out of division. And you know, I'm right there with you. But I'm Itawamba has just, looked invincible so far, basically.
Yeah, and I've seen them a couple of times and they are very good all around, offense, defense. Haven't seen Pawtucket yet. I'll get to see them tomorrow night. That's the plan, is for me to go to Fulton to cover that one. So, yeah, basically the winner of this game wins the division.
Right.
Yeah. So, we'll see what the Pawtucket's made of. Friday night, they're not moving this one. Tupelo Christian at Smithville. Big 2-1A game there. The loser is going to have a long uphill climb to get into the playoffs. So, kind of a must-win game for these teams. And I was talking to Michael Campbell, the Smithville coach, and, you know, all these games are getting moved because of the weather. He's like, no, we'd rather play on Friday because, A, we don't mind playing in the rain, and, B, he's hoping, he told me this, he's hoping it'll slow down TCPS's passing attack. You know, they throw for almost 300 yards a game. And, I mean, they can run it, too, especially now they got Josh Berry back. But, you know, Kai Holiday, he can run it, he can throw it. And, you know, playing on a slick field in the rain with a wet ball, you know, that's a good strategy. I'd do it, too.
Well, I've seen Smithville twice, and, you know, both times I've covered them, they've lost just basically, you know, to better athletes.
Right.
And so the weather will certainly help that out, I think. I'm not sure if Smithville has the, you know, just has the people to match up with TCPS, and it's kind of weird to say. But
TCPS has some athletes these days.
Yeah, they're playing at Smithville.
Yep.
Which is always a challenge.
Yep.
And Smithville is, you know, has made it to the playoffs. And, you know, looking at this, it says every year since 2007 they've been in the playoffs. So it'd be really weird to see them lose and kind of get knocked out of the playoffs.
Right, right.
TCPS has never beaten Smithville, 0-3 against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of interested in this one. I don't know what's going to happen, but
yeah,
I like this matchup.
Me too. Yeah, it's Friday night in Smithville. Okay, so that's a quick look ahead to some of the big games for Week 10. Let's talk some volleyball real quick, Dalton. The playoffs, they had second round action Tuesday night. We had three area teams still alive, and all three won, all winning by 3-0 scores. New Albany defeated Greenwood, Belmont defeated Choctaw County, and Alcorn Central defeated Water Valley. So all three of those teams now advance to the semifinals, which will be played in Starkville at Mississippi State University at the Newell Grissom Building. Semifinals and finals Thursday and Saturday for all those teams. So you've got New Albany is going to play Bay in 4A, and then in Class 1, you've got Belmont against Our Lady Academy, which is a powerhouse. And then you've got Alcorn Central is going to play St. Andrews, which is also really, really good in volleyball. So,
well, this is the first time in school history for both Belmont and New Albany to make it there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to see more of that, of course, as we get more volleyball teams every single year. But
certainly.
You know, Alcorn Central is going back. I think they were there
two years ago.
Yeah. I was thinking it was last year, but yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
You know, all three of those teams have been great. You know.
Yeah, and I saw I was at the Alcorn Central game, and that Mia Griffin girl. You told me she was the real deal, and yeah, she is. Just a sophomore, and she was all over the place, man.
Well, yeah, I was going to say I saw Belmont and the Maggie Ledbetter girl. I saw Alcorn Central and Belmont play earlier in the year, and she had a good game, even though Alcorn Central swept them. But last night she ended up with 13 aces and 11 kills last night.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, it was pretty good. I think they went on like a 7-0 run with just her serving. Mm-hmm. They went on like a 7-0 run in the first set, and she had like 5 aces. And in the second set, they went on like a, you know, 9-0 run with her serving. And then the last set, they went on a 16-0 run with her serving. So, it's just they had a lot of success whenever she was back there serving.
Goodness. So, yeah, Thursday and Saturday in Starkville with those games there. Time for the shout-out this week. Shout-out goes to basketball because it's starting. The season itself doesn't start till next week, but we've got a bunch of preseason jamborees coming up on Saturday. Like Tupelo's got one, and you've got one at ICC, you got one at Pontotoc. And so, yeah, lots of good little basketball action to be found Saturday if you want to get out and watch something.
That Tupelo Jamboree looked really good to me. I was looking at some of the games in there. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember looking at it the other day, and there was a lot of good teams and a lot of good games in it.
Yeah, I've got it right here in front of me, and yeah, several games. I guess they play, what, like two quarters or something?
I'm not sure how to
just go. Judging by the start times, like 40 minutes apart, 50 minutes apart.
Yeah, probably.
But so. Yeah, like you've got Tupelo New Albany Girls is the first one. You got Tupelo New Albany Boys. Tupelo Pine Grove Girls, Olive Branch Ripley Boys. Let's see.
Those are some good matchups right there.
I know. We got Kossuth Choctaw Central Girls. That'll be a good one. Kossuth Ripley Girls would be a really good one. Let's see here. You got Amory and Okolona Boys. You got Saltillo and Okolona Girls. Amory and Okolona Girls. It's a bunch of games. It's like, I can't even count that.
If you put that that little jamboree schedule in the middle of the season, that would be a tournament that a lot of people would go to.
Sure would be.
Because there's a lot of talented teams in that.
Sure is. So, yeah, check some of that out. Time now to close out the show with the Athletes of the Week. Every week we honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week, Mia Griffin. I mentioned her a while ago, the sophomore for Alcorn Central's volleyball team, and two playoff wins against Hickory Flat and then Water Valley over this past week. She had a total of 33 kills, 28 digs, and 9 aces in those two games.
She's extremely good.
I think they were both 3-0 wins, so like she's only playing 3 sets each, mm-hmm. putting up those numbers. Male Athlete of the Week, Jacoby Williams of Baldwin. He's a two-way threat. He had 2 touchdown receptions, a three-way threat. 2 touchdown receptions, a punt return for touchdown, and he made an interception on defense. His 8th of the year, leads the state. As Baldwin beat Ashland 54-6.
He also has 11 touchdown receptions on the year. I was looking at that. I did my little capsule on him earlier. I didn't realize he had that many touchdown receptions.
Yeah, man. Tell you. He can get it done. Mm-hmm. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, coming to you every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And that's it. Until next week, y'all have a good one.